There are 2 days of hearings this week at the federal courthouse in Phoenix. One of those was triggered by KJZZ's reporting. Joining us now is KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins, who's been following the prison health care settlement as it plays out month after month. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Great, Mark. How are you?
So where are we at this process?
The state is now 3 years. I just realized this. It's been going on for
three whole years.
Yeah, 3 years now into a settlement process. They agreed to essentially do better at prison health care in February of 2015. They agreed to meet a bunch of benchmarks that would show progress towards better health care standards in Arizona prisons, but the state continues to fall short. What's happening now is lawyers for the state and the inmates meet each month. They talk about what's working, what's not, but we keep seeing that there is so much, Mark, that's not working.
So, Jimmy, KJZZ published documents in December, a few months back now, from a former prison doctor, along with reporting that led to a federal judge to schedule the first of the two hearings that occurred this week. Remind us, who is this doctor and how did she end up impacting this case?
Dr. Jan Watson worked at a clinic in an Arizona state prison in 2017, and she saw things and she heard things that she did not think were ethical or based in sound medical practice. So she told people internally. She got no response. She ended up leaving this job. She came to us with her story. We published it, and almost 2 months to the day later, she was on the stand in federal court. On Tuesday, she testified that while she was a doctor at the Imon State Prison, her patients were constantly denied specialty health care treatment because, she says, Corizon Health employees, the state's contractor, this company would cancel the consultations for very serious things like cancer and HIV, you know, people with broken bones, people with seizures.
So, Jimmy, how could something like that happen? Why is the company denying these requests?
Well, I think this was a huge revelation that we heard yesterday. A state monitor told the court that Corizon Health changed the way they handle requests for specialty health care treatment in or around August of 2017. And that's exactly when this former prison doctor told us all of her patients started getting their requests denied. What we learned is that people on site at the prisons used to make that call. You say the patient needs his wrist bones set instead of just a splint. Well, let me come over and check that out. The on-site Corizon employees also had access to inmates' medical records. So you had this person on site. In or around summer of last year, Corizon centralized this process to their headquarters in Tennessee. So now, if you're a doctor in an Arizona prison and you think your patient needs, like, urgent chemotherapy, you've got to prove it to someone in another state that doesn't have access to that patient's medical records. And this has been a major factor in all of the delays and denials, people literally dying, that we've been reporting on over the past 6 or 7 months.
So, Jimmy, there were two full days of testimony, which we've reported on, and you can, of course, find at KJZZ.org. Are there any other major revelations from those 2 days of testimony?
Yes. Perhaps even more incredible than Dr. Watson's testimony was what we heard from Dr. David Robertson. He is the medical director of the Arizona Department of Corrections Health Services Monitoring Bureau. This is the same person that confirmed this Corizon policy change. Attorneys for the inmates walked him through 17 mortality reports that he or his office had a hand in. This is a literal post-mortem that the Department of Corrections conducts after an inmate in their care dies. Dr. Robertson testified that in all these reports they went through, he indicated that the health care the inmates received in prison was either partially or totally responsible for their deaths. In his review of the cases, Robertson testified that he had listed contributing factors to the causes of death, such as, quote, failure to recognize symptoms or signs. Other commonly cited reasons included, quote, delay in access to care and, quote, failure to follow clinical guidelines. In one deceased man's file, Mark, he wrote, quote, diagnosis is not timely or accurate, treatment not timely and inappropriate. And this is a state monitor talking about their contractor. On several reviews under the question, quote, is it likely the death was impacted in a negative way or caused by a healthcare practitioner? Robertson testified that he had checked yes.
Well, that's pretty stark stuff. You can, of course, find a more detailed account of the past few days in court, as well as the reporting that led to this investigation by a federal judge at KJZZ.org. That's KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins has been on this story. Jimmy, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you.